Happy Monday, Tater Tots. Welcome back to another episode of Topics of Taboo, the Raw and Honest podcast, where we unpack, educate, and attempt to erase the stigma surrounding taboo topics. So today I welcomed Kaya back on to the potty, and we played Flex's new game, Let's Talk About Sex, from Bobo and Flex. It was an absolute blast. It is jam-packed with some candid sex talk. But I also wanted to pop a little disclaimer, a little trigger warning here, that we do make mention of sexual assault and rape, and these themes are mentioned lightly when answering some of your questions. I will have them in the timestamps listed below in the show notes if you would like to skip through them. But yes, just thought I would make note of those before you go ahead and listen to it. And other than that, let's welcome Kaya onto the podcast and talk about sex, baby.
Let's talk about you and me. Yeah, that's happening.
Yeah, that's our thing. Are you ready to talk about sex, doll?
Let's talk about sex, baby.
I'll take that as a yes. Hello, fam. Kaya is back here in the studio, aka my bedroom, again today. Kaya, I got sent Flex's new Reflex questions about sex card game.
I'm so excited.
So
everything good happens in the bedroom.
Yes. Yes. So we're just about to. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. If you're a Bobo and Flex fan. If you're a Bobo and Flex fan. Fuck me. If you're a Bobo and Flex fan, or you listen to their podcast, I'm sure you'd be aware of this new card game that Flex has brought out. But it's basically just a pack of cards that have all these questions about sex, and it like opens up conversations with you and your friends, you and a partner, whomever. And Kaya actually thought, she saw it on my story the other day, and she was like, we should do a podcast playing this game. And I was like, you know what? Amazing idea.
Brilliant.
So yeah, today's episode is all about sex and us answering questions about it. We both opened up our social media channels to you guys, asking you to pose any questions you have about sexual health, sexual awareness, all that sort of thing. So we're going to be answering those questions as well for you. But yeah, let's go ahead. Do you want to go first?
Okay.
You do the honors. You're so excited.
Well, Bobo and Flex is the first ever podcast I ever listened to, and I follow Flex on Insta.
Yeah.
And she's so creative. She is a genius and I love her. So I'm very much excited to get into it. Okay. Let's do it. So first question, how has hookup culture impacted your views on sex?
Oofed. That's a good cue. How has hookup culture impacted your views? I think hasn't necessarily impacted my view, but I think on society, like, hookup culture is so normalized within men.
Mm-hmm.
But if a woman like goes to like hook up with people and not necessarily date them, she's called a slut or whatever, but it's so okay within men.
Yeah.
Myself, how has it changed my view? I think Kyra and I were speaking about this before. One night stands aren't really our thing. Like, and that's not for any particular reason or any view that I hold. I just like having sex with people I have a connection with.
Yeah, it's the intimacy for me.
Yeah, yeah. It's the intimacy for me. I think the hookup culture to me is just like very casual, no strings attached, like, and it's fun and it works for some people. It's fun for some people. Some of my mates do it and that's awesome and they love it. But yeah, it's just not for everyone. And yeah. I don't see it as a bad thing. I don't see hookup culture as a bad thing, as long as it's consensual and
yeah. I think hookup culture is great.
Yep.
I'm a huge believer in pleasure.
Yep.
And in pleasuring other people.
Yep.
I actually, like, I derive so much enjoyment from pleasuring someone else.
Yeah,
like,
same.
I get so much out of it, and yep. I think that's why, like, for me personally, if I'm having sex with someone, there has to be some form of intimate connection there.
Yeah.
So I can really get into the groove of things and really get you going.
Yeah.
But that's just me personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I agree with everything you said about, like, society and stuff as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet.
Next one. How do you communicate your sexual desires?
Ew. Ooh. Ooh. Okay. Cool. This is, like, a multi-layered question.
Definitely.
I'm a huge eye contact gal.
Yeah.
So I will always, like, I can give the eyes. Like, I will give you the eyes. If I'm giving, you will know. You will know. Yep. Like, my face will say it all.
Yeah.
I either allow or do not allow people to see that. Mm-hmm. So some people will never see that side of me, but if I've allowed you to see that side of me, if I've given you the eyes, like, good luck to
she
you.
She just gave me the eyes.
This is awkward. Okay. That and honest, like, clear-cut communication.
Yes.
Like, I've had so many conversations with someone where I've been like, so, like, what are your kinks?
Yeah.
Like, these are mine. Like, what are you into? This is what I'm into. Yeah. Like, do you enjoy this? Even in the middle of sex. Like, if we're, like, actually, like, in the middle of performing the act of sex.
Yeah.
I will ask you, like, hey, do you want to try this?
Yeah.
And they'll be like, yes. And I'll be like, cool. Or they'll be like, not really my thing. And I'll be like, also cool.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, words and eyes.
Yeah.
Always.
I'm the same in terms of words. I'm very, very open about that sort of thing. Like you were saying, like, I will ask someone straight up what their kinks are or, like, favorite position or, like, stuff like that. I've always been very open with that and not had an issue with that. I'm also just very fit. In terms of, like, how do I communicate? I think talking is the biggest thing. Like, I think for me, like, the biggest thing is also words and, like, how you speak to them and what you talk about and when. And also during acts of sexual encounters or whatever, like, yeah, just being open about if you want to try something new or just, like, being able to ask them if they want to do something is probably, I think that's how I communicate best.
Yeah,
I haven't really thought about that before.
Yeah, setting expectations and boundaries. Yeah. Also body language, huge thing for me.
Body language is what I was going to say, that's huge. Do you ever just, like, feel it between you and someone? Like, you don't have to say anything, it just...
Chemistry.
Yeah.
It's that initial chemistry, for sure. Yeah, I've felt that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. It goes hand in hand with the eye contact for me.
Yeah.
Like, if I, like, I can tell, I'm really good at reading people.
Yeah.
So when I'm looking at somebody, I can tell a lot from, like, reading them. Like, they don't have to say anything and I can read them based on, like, their facial expressions, their eye contact, their body language. And so then I give off what, like, I can also give that off. Like, I can accommodate to that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Next one. This is actually so fun.
I know.
How has your first sexual experience impacted the sex you have now?
Oh, my God. Well, I was actually thinking back to this the other day because the whole topic of your first time being, like, painful or whatever came up. And I actually remember my first time as such a positive experience. It was with a guy that I'd been seeing for a while, and we both loved each other. It was super consensual, it was super positive, and I just remember it being a really wholesome moment. It's definitely changed a lot now. It was very vanilla, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with vanilla. It was, like, one position, but it was lovely, and it was really nice. How's it impacted? I guess it made me very comfortable with this one person and gave me confidence in the bedroom. A lot has changed since in the most positive way possible. Yeah, I think it had a really good impact on the sex I have now. A lot less vanilla now, which, again, there is nothing wrong with vanilla, but you have to start somewhere.
Yeah. My first actual sexual encounter, which I've previously spoken about, not considering as my first time, quote unquote, was not a positive experience, which, again, I've mentioned.
Yeah.
So that impacted me a little differently to your first time, I'd say. I had issues with not wanting to have sex at all, not trusting people.
Yeah.
Even now, like, when I'm seeing a new guy or a new girl, when I'm seeing someone new, if I'm at their house or, like, sleeping in their bed, like, very, like, it's happened a few times where I have, like, night terrors and stuff because I do suffer with post-traumatic stress disorder, so it does bring up a lot. It's something that I'm getting a handle on, and over time it's getting, like, I'm doing so much better now than what I was back then. So that has impacted it in that aspect, but it also impacted it to a point where I was hypersexual.
Yes.
So I was, like, and I would fluctuate. So I'd go from having zero libido to being so hypersexual. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I've now just, like, I feel like I found my groove.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have sex with people I don't feel intimate with.
Yeah.
That's a personal choice of mine. I have had one night stands. And I don't have anything against, like, one night stands. Yep. I'm sure, like, going forward in the future, I'll probably have another one night stand here or there. I'm a single gal. It is what it is.
Yeah.
My preference, and I can, like, I don't have to have sex with another person.
Yeah.
Like, my preference is to have sex with someone that I feel safe around, I guess. And that's probably what's been impacted the most.
Yep.
For sure. Yep.
Yeah. Good answer. Oh, what was the first sex talk you received? That was a long time ago.
Oh my God.
I don't even remember.
I remember mine.
Yeah.
It was from my dad.
Oh, I love that. Yes, dad.
So anyone who knows me knows that I love my dad. He is literally my role model, light of my life, like the one person in this world I will look up to wholeheartedly for the rest of my life. Yep. Like when I grow up, I want to be like him. Like he is the best.
Yeah.
The first form of, like, the first ever any form of sex talk I ever had with anyone was with him, and he literally was giving me life advice. He gave me 3 bits of advice, and the one that he gave me in relation to sex was, Kyle, I just want you to know that boys will do and say anything to get in your pants.
Yeah.
I think I was like 12.
I
was like, to what? And he was like, they'll do or say anything. They will say anything, Kaya. You be careful. Words don't mean anything.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, Chris, like, whatever. Yeah. But turns out he's not wrong.
Yeah.
Turns out, like, there are people out there who will say or do anything just to, like, be like, yeah, I conquered her. Like,
yeah.
I slept with her.
Yuck. Gag.
Get out. But, yeah, that was the first sex talk I ever had. For like regarding anything sexual.
Yeah.
And it's something that I actually carry with me like very regularly. Mm-hmm. And I'm very thankful for it. Like I'll probably pass that information on to my kids in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. My first one was with mum, and it was when I was seeing this guy in high school, and she could tell we were getting like, we were just at that stage where you're all a bit rowdy, a little bit nasty. And yeah, she just made sure that I had condoms as well, because I guess most people teach men to have condoms with them or, like, say that it's on the man. But it's also good for, like, you to just have them because not every guy is going to have them on.
Yeah.
I think that was, she was like, we should get you a pack of condoms sort of thing. Like, and I was like, yeah, probably not a bad idea. And it was just such a casual, like, mum and I have always been very open. We can talk about anything. And dad's, I don't know, dad's very easy to talk to too, but he would never bring something like that up with me. It was always mum. And yeah, just made sure I was being safe. It was at a point where, I mean, I don't remember the first birds and the bees chat, like being when I was like before 10, because I don't remember back that far. The worst memory. But yeah, the first proper sex talk was from mum, and it was just making sure that I had another form of protection, handy. That was right before I went on the, no, that was after I was on the pill, but obviously for STIs and whatever as well.
On this topic.
Yeah.
I found that the school that I went to had a very, 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 it just really lacked sexual education.
Oh, so many schools do.
It was like banana, condom, that was literally it. I think I did like one sex ed class, and it was genuinely how to put a condom on. Like, we didn't learn about pleasure. We only learnt about like
heterosexual P and V.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that was like,
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping in the schooling systems these days, they're starting to like fix that up.
Please.
Cause that's something that does need to be discussed.
We can teach it.
I will teach it.
Hey, there's such thing as girl on girl sex.
And oh my God.
Female protection. Actually on that, we should probably answer some of the questions regarding safe sex and sexual health. Let me just bring them up. But yeah, that's so true. I've spoken about it in many YouTube videos, in a podcast before. It is heterosexual sex education or nothing, and it's pretty fucking bleak. Like, are female condoms needed? I've been in the same WLW relationship for over a year. Okay. I have never used protection with a woman before. Purely because every woman I've slept with, I have known well enough, and we've had that conversation about getting tested and being clean, for lack of a better word. So every woman I've slept with, I've known, or they've at least told me that they've been free of STIs or STDs. But in saying that, you've been together for over a year. I presume you have had that chat, and if not, maybe it's a good idea to do that. And if you are only sleeping with each other...
Yeah, that was my question for the question is it exclusive?
Is it exclusive? If it is exclusive, then no, I wouldn't imagine so. I don't think you'd need to. If it's not exclusive or you've both been sleeping with other people or seeing other people, then yes, I would definitely be using it. But that's definitely a conversation that you need to have with your partner. Why does no mean yes to people who ignore my no and I have to have a reason? So I'm guessing you're saying you feel like you have to have a reason to say no, even if no purely isn't enough for someone?
Yeah. If it's the same someone and they are not listening to you say no purely for the fact that you're saying no and that you have to give them a reason,
yeah,
stop seeing them.
Immediately.
And let them know that, like, actually inform them of that behavior and how that's toxic and how that is, like, the pyramid scheme of, like, rape. Like, literally.
Yeah.
And it all starts somewhere. And if they're actively being like, oh, well, why not? Or if they're trying to convince you to have sex with them, you should, and you don't want to, you shouldn't be around that person.
No should be enough. Like, mm-hmm. There doesn't need to be an explanation. What the fuck? Like, no. Okay.
Also, that goes both ways. Like,
yeah.
If you're a guy and a girl is, like, pressuring you to have sex, don't feel pressured to, like, you should not have to have sex with someone. Like, no, I know I've been in situations before where I've been like, oh, but, like, should I have sex with them? I don't really feel like it, but they keep hinting that they want to.
Same.
If you don't want to, just don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, just don't.
Yeah.
And I know it's easier said than done. Like, trust me, I know.
Yeah.
But you've got to draw the line. And if it's the same person who's constantly pushing you to have sex with them, you most definitely need to draw that line.
Yeah. See ya.
Bye. Throw them out.
Literally. This person said dental dams. Where to get them and are they useful or necessary? I guess that kind of comes into the first female condom question. They are necessary if you want to protect yourself from STIs. At the end of the day, they are. If you're having sex with people that you don't know if they're having sex with other people or not, or if you're not dating them, you're not exclusive, it is a good idea to use a form of protection, as in a heterosexual relationship, as in any. In terms of where to get them, I think dental dams are actually quite hard to track down. They shouldn't be, but I don't think you can get them from...
I don't think you can get...
supermarket.
No, I think it's like Sexyland and online.
Sexyland, online, maybe some pharmacies, but I would look online.
Yeah. And they're, like, with buying that sort of stuff online as well, if you're, like, living with family or you're sharing a house, they do have really discreet packaging these days as well, so definitely would recommend online.
Nice! This person said how to have safe lesbian/gay sex, and honestly, we pretty much covered that then. There are so many different, like, there's not only just male condoms for penises, okay? There's the female condom, there is a diaphragm, there is a dental dam, what else is there? I think that's about it.
Yeah. Conversation and protection.
Conversation and protection, mm-hmm. Yes. If you and your partner are both tested, should you still use methods to prevent STIs? Honestly, I think this is subjective.
Yeah, it's a preference thing, because... Yeah, it's a preference thing.
Yeah.
If you've both been tested and you've both come back with nothing and you want to decide to continue to use protection, then go for it. If you decide that you don't want to, also go for it.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's definitely, a preference thing. I know in most of my long-term relationships, which have been, mind you, very long-term, we'd been with each other for so long, we'd both been tested, both been clean, and it was sort of like, why would we use them? Like, I'm on the pill, we're obviously being safe around all of that as well. But some people still choose to. Even on the pill, they choose to use a condom just for that extra barrier, because we know the pill's not 100%, and obviously prevents anything else at the same time, if you haven't been together for that long or whatever. But yeah. This person said, how to move past sexual assault.
That one is a tough one.
Yeah.
It is quite honestly, like, each person goes on their own journey with that kind of stuff. Like, and it's not an easy journey. It is, I'm, like, not going to sit here and lie and be like, oh, it's all fucking rainbows and sunshine.
Yeah.
It's not. Mm-hmm. It's an uphill, like, it's a battle.
Yeah.
It's an absolute battle. It's a battle of the mind. It's a battle of the body.
Yeah.
If you have to still be around the person who's assaulted you, that's even worse.
Yeah.
The only sort of bits of advice I can give, I guess, are to be aware of how you're feeling. So if you're feeling a certain way around certain people, maybe don't hang around those people. Converse, have that conversation, talk to people about it. Whether it be someone you trust, a parent, a psychologist, your GP, and just seek help. Like, that's all I can recommend is seeking help, because I let my mind go fucking crazy for so long.
Yeah.
And then I sought help, and the moment I started seeking help, I put measures in place like grounding. Mm-hmm. Grounding's really good for like my PTSD. I'm not sure if this person suffers with PTSD, but it includes like all of your like primary senses. So stuff like that is really good to put in place, but just have the conversation, talk to people and let your voice be heard.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really good answer. Penetration is sometimes painful for women, so what are some alternative sexual acts? Yes, okay. We spoke about this in another episode on endometriosis. And penetration can be painful for some women. So I guess at the end of the day, we need to see sex. We need to remove the whole idea that sex is P&V or sex is penetration, because it's not. Sex is an intimate act with someone else. But in terms of other alternative sexual acts, anything that you like doing that is intimate with your partner or another person can be considered a sexual act. So any like oral, any foreplay, any touching, anything like that, that you find sexual with someone else or intimate with someone else can be a sexual act.
Yeah, I got nothing to add there.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. This is a really sincere question. How do I make sure I don't hurt my girlfriend when we do women loving women stuff for the first time? Consent, girl. Mm. Consent.
Consent
making sure.
And conversation.
Consent, conversation. Making sure you're both relaxed. Also knowing it's okay to say no. And it's okay for her to say no, obviously. And if she does, stop. I think communication is the best way to make sure that the person you're having sex with is comfortable.
Yeah.
Go slow, take it slow. Like, sex is fun and it's not a race. Like, just take your time with everything. And yeah, I guess it's a comfort thing at the end of the day.
That's
and
the thing. Yeah. First times are always tough.
Yeah.
Like, I actually got a question from someone.
Yep.
That slid into my DMs, and they were asking about sort of how you go about having sex confidently and how you know you're doing the right thing. And I was like, honestly, for me, it was like experience over time.
Yeah.
And sex is messy. It's like a gangly,
awkward, funny mess.
It's so like, it's so in the moment. Yeah. It could either go super, super great, or like you could fall off the bed. Like, it honestly,
and it's funny.
Just laugh about it. Yeah. It's not meant to be this big, serious, smoky,
formal
sexy
thing. Yeah.
It's not porn. It's not pre-planned. It's
it's
like
so different.
It's just this fun, gangly experience.
Yeah.
And it's still like, it's steamy. Like, you can have steamy, hot fucking sex.
Yeah.
And still have a sex injury halfway through.
Oh, yeah.
Or someone can, like, smack their head on the wall. Like, or like, I just need to go grab a glass of water. I'm getting parched. I'll be back in a sec.
Oh,
like,
or, actually, I've shared this story before, but one time when I was having sex with someone, we decided to use warming lube, and oh, no. We were drunk. We used way too much, and within, like, 5 minutes, my clit was on fire, and we just had to stop. Like, I had to go to the bathroom, wash it off, come back, and then keep on going. Like, shit happens. Shit happens.
It happens. It's sex. Like with anything, it is what it is. And the more you do it comfortably, the more you become comfortable. Having sex with someone you're comfortable with is key. Mm-hmm. And, like, not for everyone, but for me, intimacy. Like, I have to be intimate with the person to be comfortable and enjoy that.
Yeah, I think just over time, in terms of confidence, just over time, practicing, getting more used to it, trying new things and trying new things together. When guys get vasectomies, are they still able to come during sex?
I feel like yes. Okay. They still come, don't they? They're just, like, shooting blanks.
Yeah, I think. After, I think so.
Two women trying to figure out the anatomy of a man.
Yeah, lovely. The sperm, which are made in the testicles, cannot pass through the vas deferens once they have been cut and tied, so they are reabsorbed by the body. There is no change to either the person's ability to ejaculate or the appearance of the ejaculate fluid. The only difference in ejaculation is the absence of sperm in the semen.
We were right.
Well, you were right. Yes, there you go. There's the answer.
I just have Michael Scott from The Office in the back of my head saying, like, have you seen that episode where he's like, he's had a vasectomy 3 times and it's not easy on a person?
Yeah.
I have that in the back of my head.
So funny.
Because I know they can be reversed as well.
Yeah. This person said, how to have a healthy taste / smell of your vagina. Yeah. The thing is, I mean, vaginas are self-cleaning. Yeah. And I think, like a lot of women use, if you use anything that's like not pH balance or like whatever, I think you can actually like throw off your pH.
You actually can.
Which can give you things that, you know. I think, I don't know, I don't really know. I've never been told, like, I mean, obviously when you're having sex with someone, like, they're not going to eat you out and be like, ew, you taste bad. Like, they're not going to say that. I've only ever had, like, you taste so good or whatever. So
I copped a you taste like strawberries once and I was
oh
like,
oh my God. Yes. Yeah, we do. I think just, yeah, having good hygiene, making sure you do shower. And you can clean it, but you only have to clean it with water.
Yeah.
And like a face washer or fingers or like whatever. I think just making sure you're not using any external like soaps or like anything that'll dry it out or anything that'll throw off the pH balance is key.
I would like the only advice I'd give is to use like a naturally balanced like pH, like something that is specifically
like Vagisil or
made,
something.
Yeah, something specifically made for that area.
Yeah.
Even when it comes to like moisturizers and stuff as well.
Yeah.
If you're using like a moisturizer down there, make sure that it's pH balanced and it's made specifically to be gentle on the skin there.
Yeah.
I know that Frank Body have recently released like an all over like a body cleanser which is pH balanced as well, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
I just make sure that you're using the right stuff because if you do send it out of whack, it takes a lot to get it back to where it is.
Yeah.
That, and I've heard, I don't know if this is like an old wives' tale, but eating healthy.
Yeah.
Like the healthier you eat, the more naturally you eat, the better you taste. Because you are what you eat.
Yeah.
Literally.
Water as well.
Hydration.
Yeah. Just drinking a lot of water and eating, not having like a super, super, super duper processed diet. Like that's not good for you in all aspects of life, but also will affect how you taste. So, how do girls masturbate? That's broad.
Woo, that is such a broad question.
Yeah.
Have like 30 years or?
Literally. There was a follow-up question to that as well. Why do some people feel ashamed for masturbating? I feel like we've touched on this before.
Social stigma.
Patriarchy.
Mm-hmm. We're so candid about it.
Literally.
The patriarchy.
Yeah.
So,
how do girls masturbate? However the fuck they want, I guess.
You do you.
If
you're starting out and you're just sort of like experimenting, that's literally all you can do. Take the time when you're feeling it to feel it. Like, honestly, just like... see what works for you.
Yep.
That's what I did.
Yep.
And then you find out, and then you know yourself better than anyone else.
Yep.
And that's that about that.
And that's that about that.
I don't know, like, you
I
can...
I guess we... Yeah. You can use toys. You don't have to use toys. You can use other things. I guess every girl's different. Some people prefer, like, clit toys. Some people prefer dildos. Some people prefer both that have a clit stim bit and a dildo.
I feel like clitoral stimulation is the best place to start if you're super duper scared. Because that's like, for me anyway, and everyone is different, that is usually the easiest for me.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Oh, 9 times out of 10, I will literally come from clitoral stimulation. So everyone is different. Some girls prefer the other or what have you. But I guess girls masturbate in a way that makes them feel good.
Same way that guys do.
Yes.
Do what feels good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And no two people are the same, so you've just got to remember that.
Yep. And in terms of why do people feel ashamed for masturbating, this is a deep question.
It's multifaceted. Yeah.
But basically the patriarchy. Also, religion. Some religions frown upon it, think it's a sin, all those sorts of things. It's not. And that's me telling you from someone that isn't religious, so I can't really... talk about an experience with that, or having like friends or family or parents that disallow you from exploring your body, but it's natural and it's part of growing up and sexuality and learning about yourself. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think that facilitating your own pleasure is such a pivotal point in your life. It's so pivotal.
Helps with confidence, everything.
I feel like that's where self-confidence will stem. Like, that's where that shit will grow. And I know people who didn't sort of pleasure themselves for quite some time because they were scared.
Yeah.
But it's not to be scared of. It's you. It's your body.
Yeah.
You know?
Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Where can you go to get tested in Australia and stuff? I always hear about people in the US, but not in Australia.
Tested for STDs.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Just a doctor.
Your GP.
Yeah.
Just go in and say, I'd like to be tested. And then they'll test you.
Yeah.
Usually consists of blood test.
Urine sample.
Urine sample, yeah.
Swabs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't feel comfortable going to your GP, there are also like sexual health clinics. Depending on what area you're in, I know there are a few in Melbourne, there is one in Geelong.
Yes, sexual health. Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
They're also, if you want something a little bit more, especially if your GP is like a family doctor or like something that someone that you know and you don't want to go to them, then you can go to, yeah, like a sexual health clinic and stuff like that as well.
I feel like, and I could be wrong, but I feel like you can do it remotely as well. So, like, if you're out in, like, a country town or something, I think they can send a kit to your house.
Oh, yep. Okay.
I'm pretty sure they can.
Yeah.
Because I know for, like, mental health, I'm getting a DNA kit sent to my house to, like, help figure out what I would or would not have positive side effects to.
Okay.
And it's only a very new thing, so I would assume they'd be able to do a similar thing with STDs, but don't hold
think
me
so.
To it. I would probably do some Googling.
Yeah.
Do your Googles.
Do your Googles.
Do your Googles.
This is interesting. Is it normal to pee a lot while self-pleasuring and not once orgasm? I'm guessing you're squirting?
Yeah, that sounds like squirting to me.
Squirting does feel a lot like urination and feels like you need to pee, and does not always happen with orgasm. You can squirt a few times and not orgasm, you can orgasm and not squirt, or both can go hand in hand, but not always at the same time.
You summed that up so beautifully.
Thanks. So you probably are squirting. If you are not, I don't know enough about it to know whether it's normal or not, but I think the feeling is so similar to that of going to the toilet that might be what you're confusing it with. So look, definitely have a little Google about squirting and how it feels and that sort of thing, because it is linked with self-pleasure and sex. So
yeah,
I have one last question here. How does one set boundaries when their partner makes them uncomfortable but they can't say no?
We get this one a lot, don't we?
Yeah,
this
too
one
much.
Pops up way too often.
Yeah.
And I always go back to the same thing. It's like, it's all about verbal communication when it comes to that sort of stuff. And if they're not listening, if you love them, sometimes love is not, it's just not enough.
No, you need to protect yourself.
Yeah. Do you want to have to endure that for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
If the answer is no, which I already know it's no, you're going to have to let the whole person go.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not willing to change their ways, if they're not willing to listen to you, your wants, your needs, or your boundaries in which you're setting, like, boundaries are so important. They're fundamental to any relationship.
Yeah.
If this person is not listening to you setting boundaries and they're not adhering to your boundaries, you have to let them go.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a tough pill to swallow, but it has to be done.
Yeah. That's also not love. Like, they might say they love you, but if someone oversteps your boundaries, doesn't listen to you or anything like that, that's not love. That's, yeah. That's not it, sis.
It ain't it. Throw the whole man out.
Yep.
In the trash.
In the trash, not the recycling bin.
All right. Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yeah, legit. Let's answer a few more of these cues.
All right.
Before we go.
We'll do this one.
Okay.
Could you live a fulfilling life without sex? Oh.
Define fulfilling.
This one is so good. Oh, okay. This is so multifaceted.
That's hard. But, like, can I still fuck myself? Because if so, then yes.
Also, do I know what sex is to begin with? Or am I blind to what it is the whole time? Because if I didn't know what sex was and I didn't know it was a thing, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
Because ignorance is bliss, right?
Yep.
But if I knew sex was a thing and I'd had sex before
and
I had come before, been pleasured before, and they'd turn around and told me I couldn't have sex ever again, the answer would be a hard no.
No.
Like, I could try my best, but I'm all about
the
human experience and pleasure.
Yeah.
And a massive part of pleasure in the human experience is having sex. That level of intimacy that you get when you're having sex with
someone else. Yeah. And, like, it's nice doing it yourself. And I know I can get myself off, but it is so much nicer with someone else.
Yeah, in short, I don't think I could live a fulfilling life without sex, unless I didn't know it existed and it was just not a thing in general. Like, the whole universe, like, could procreate on their own.
Yep.
Like, you didn't need it.
Yep.
So unless it was, like, a colossal thing,
the
answer's no.
I agree. What's your favorite thing about sex?
The intimacy.
I literally was just about to say that. We would have said it at the same time. The intimacy. Preach. Yep.
The intimacy, the eye contact, the... I'm a huge lover of kissing.
Yeah, same.
Like, I love it. I love, like, I don't, like, just, oh.
Oh.
Yeah, just, oh.
Kaya loves kissing everyone. Just, yeah. It's so nice.
Just, like, yeah, the intimacy, the eye contact for me is huge. Like, yep. Just holding another person and that, like, the whole experience of it.
Yep.
And sometimes, like, when you have sex with someone, you guys are mix-matched and you're not, like, mismatched.
We'll get there. Yeah.
And you're not compatible sexually and, like, yeah, the sex is all right,
yep.
But it's not all there. When you find someone who you're entirely sexually compatible with,
yeah.
and you've got that eye contact, you've got that banter,
yeah.
you feel relaxed, like just the whole package.
Yeah.
And also kissing.
Yeah. Nah, I couldn't have said it better myself, doll.
Oh, really?
Nah, intimacy is it. It is it.
It's it
I
for me.
Love being close to someone in that intimate way and like letting your guard down and them letting their guard down and just being so vulnerable with someone else. That's my favorite thing because it's something you're doing with them in that moment that they're not sharing with anyone else.
Yeah.
It's you.
It's
I suppose that's because we both enjoy having it, like having sex with partners more. It's that. It's this is my person that we get to, and this is something that we share that they don't share with anyone else.
Yeah.
Even if they've had other like sex with other people right now in this moment, it's us.
It's the moment. Yeah. The moment of intimacy. Oh, I adore it.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore it.
Love it.
Love it. Love Shall it. We do another?
Yeah.
Let's go
Why
for
not,
it.
Bitch.
Why not? How do you communicate your sexual boundaries verbally?
Hey, we just had
we
that.
We just did that one. I love that the flex questions are the same as the general public questions.
Yeah, we love that. I just communicate it. I'm very open with every person that I've ever had sex with and people that I do have sex with. Before anything goes down, I tell them. It doesn't always have to be like a super formal sit down like this, this, and this. It just comes
list.
Out. Yeah. It just comes out naturally. I'm not afraid to say something like that while we're having sex as well. If something like, yeah, if something's hurting, a position's not right, I don't want to do that, I won't. And I say that. Or I like say, let's switch it up. Can we do this? Can we do this? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Verbal communication all the way.
Yep.
I'll either communicate it at the start, during, or like, yeah. I'm very, like...
Always, it's constant.
Sex is a dance. It's not like I'm here to be fucked by someone so that they can nut and then we're boosting.
Yeah.
For me, sex is like two people being intimate and that involves communication and
yep.
understanding and
yep.
boundaries.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
Yep, yep, yep.
Love it. Let's do four more.
Okay.
Okay. Is nonverbal consent valid? See, that is so
oh,
tough.
That's such a tough one.
Because
it's so
in some ways yes, in some
yeah.
ways no. Yeah. Because, I mean, I'm in a long-term relationship currently. And whenever my boyfriend and I have sex, we start just doing stuff and then it's sort of, we move on from there. Now, if one of us weren't in the mood, we would be like, no, or like, let's just watch a movie or and that's it. And that's the end of it. And then we just do something else. When we don't, we sort of just do it.
Yeah.
And we are consensual in the fact that we're both happy in that happening, but it's not always, yeah, fuck me. Or do you want to fuck? Or like, there's not always that verbal, what's it called? Verbal consent.
Like an acknowledgement.
It's a lot of it is nonverbal. But is that different because we're in a long-term relationship and we both know that if we weren't consenting to it or we didn't want something to happen, we would say something?
Yeah. See, I don't really do one-night stands either. So.
Yeah, that's hard. I think if we talk about a one-night stand, we talk about someone that you're not that open with. No, I think there
You'd
needs
to
be verbal
it has
consent.
To be verbalized. Yeah.
I think with someone that you are having a lot of sex with, that you know each other, you know each other's bodies, body language, because body language is a big one, I think that is also valid. I think it's just very, very subjective,
mm-hmm.
and you have to be very careful with it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with, if nothing has been said, even if there has been nothing said, there's nothing wrong with you being, like, asking questions like, is this okay? Those sorts of things, rather than just having nothing at all, if you feel uncomfortable with that. But I think that question is so subjective.
I remember the first time the first time I had sex with someone who actually asked me,
yeah.
they literally said, he was like, do you want to go ahead with this? Like, do you
yeah.
want to have sex?
Yeah.
I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
I had been sexually active for, 17, 17 and a half, I'd been sexually active for 2 years prior and not a single person had actually asked me. So I had, obviously in that 2 year span, I had, like bad sexual encounters, mm-hmm. but I'd also had good ones where you could read enough through body language. I had been in a relationship throughout that time as well.
Yeah.
But this was the first guy to ever actually be like, hey, do you want to go ahead with this?
That's
and I was
so
like,
cute.
Like, bare minimum,
yeah.
I was taken aback. Like, I was actually impressed. I was like,
yeah.
This is the bare-ass minimum, and
You're doing it,
and it's working for me. The
yeah.
answer is yes, let's go.
I know. It's actually
yeah.
hot. Consent is so hot. I love it. Even just, like, little things like, yeah, is this okay, or do you like that? Or, like, that's all consent, and it's all hot, and it's all part of a good sex life.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Next one?
Yeah. Woo!
What's your favorite way to initiate sex?
Oh, these are leading on so perfectly from each other, might
yeah.
I add. Oh, it depends. I always do it differently. Favorite way?
I love the lead up. I'm
yeah.
all for foreplay. I
yeah.
fucking love that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I love the, like, again, eye contact. I love the eye contact. I love kissing.
Yeah.
I love making my way down their body.
Yeah.
I love... And I use this word, I actually, one day I'm going to have to redo some of my poems. There are some saucy ones in there.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of worshipping someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of someone worshipping you. And for me, that's what sex is.
Yeah.
When it's with the right person.
Yeah, totally.
So I like to work my way into it with foreplay.
Yeah.
I will spontaneously also go into, like, beast mode.
Yeah.
But beast mode for me is usually... what happens after foreplay.
Yeah,
so like,
you're right.
I'll get so into it that I'll be like, fucking hell, like, fuck me now.
Yeah.
Like, let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually,
yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, but I love, like, I love the lead up. I love, like, the eye contact,
yep.
like, the making out, all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing's fun, but that for me is, like...
Same. We're the same person. I love foreplay. Yeah, I love foreplay.
It's just groovy.
Me here in my feels.
Me sitting here cross-legged on the floor like, oh,
I love
foreplay.
All right, two more.
All right, let's
go.
Good.
What is bad sex?
Again, bad sex for me is...
Non-consensual,
A. What is bad sex? Bad sex for me is something where the intimacy isn't there and there is no sexual compatibility. I've had sex with people where I've been like, you would be a king or queen to someone
else. Yeah.
But for me, it's just not there.
Yeah.
And that's just because we weren't sexually compatible. Like, I've had sex with people who were, like, way too rough. Like,
mm-hmm.
and I've got my, like,
or
my kinks.
Soft.
I've got my, like, my bits and bobs. I know what I like,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I've had sex with people where they've been so rough that I've literally felt like a fucking sex doll, like, which some people are into.
Yeah.
And that's
totally.
Gross. Like, I love that. And that's what I mean. Like, I've had sex with people where I'm like, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
But I know a gal who
yeah.
would love this.
Yeah.
I'm going to hook you guys up.
Yeah.
You know?
Love that.
So, yeah, just incompatibility is... where bad sex lies for me. That
yeah, true.
And non-consensual sex.
Yeah, I agree. I think non-consensual, I also think people, sex where one person's doing everything and the other...
Preach it.
Like, there's definitely times where you can, as you said, worship one another. So one day you just might be like laying there and they're giving you everything or vice versa. And that's fine and that's okay. But if that happens every time and it's not both of you in this dance together...
Yeah, it's a dance every time.
I know. Then that's bad sex because then you feel like you're doing everything and not getting anything in return. And obviously you would hope that this wouldn't happen. And I can't really say that's ever happened to me.
Oh, I've been there.
But I've had such good sex and, like, such good sexual partners that it's been so, like, we both want the best out of the experience for each other every time.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm so blessed and so lucky, but I've also spoken to and have friends that have partners or sleep with people and they're like, I do everything. I never orgasm or blah, blah, blah.
That's
and that's not okay. Yeah, it's sex. It's meant to be fun and it's meant to both get you, get both of you euphoric. You don't have to orgasm for it to be good, but obviously that would be nice.
It helps.
But yeah, I think that's...
Yeah, I know some people who can't orgasm and they still enjoy sex.
Yeah, and there's some people that can't, for sure.
Yeah. Sex is an enjoyable encounter between two, or if you're into it, more people.
Yeah, yeah.
And if only one person is benefiting from it, it doesn't really seem like sex to me.
No.
But that's just me. That's just how I see things.
Preach. Yep.
Yep. Are we going to do another?
Last question.
Okay.
Last cue. Go flex.
Let's hope it's a good one.
Same, yep.
Oh, how would you describe an orgasm?
Whoa! For the last few, my people.
That love is such this a question. Good last question. Holy fuck.
I love it, but I hate it because it's so hard to describe. Okay. My description of an orgasm is something that just like builds and builds and builds and builds and then gets to a point where you cannot handle it. My orgasms are, this is so much information, but this is what we are on Topics of Taboo. My orgasms are fucked. Like, I think they're always good, but when I have a really like mind-blowing orgasm, it is mind-blowing. I can't see, like I go fuzzy, I cannot see. I'm weak, like, at the end, I'm, like, yeah, literally, like, yeah. I can't move. I'm also, like, don't touch me, because my entire body, like, you could touch, obviously, don't go there for, like, a minute.
Sensitive. But, like,
sensitive. So my sensitive. My hands, my head, my don't touch me. It's literally, like...
Let me be...
Yeah, just give me a minute.
Basically feel like I've gone to space, and I'm just coming back down. Give
literally,
me 1 second.
Give me a minute.
Fuck.
Intense. How intense, nice.
Ooh, okay. How would I describe an orgasm? Literally, similarly to how you described it, just like a very intense, gradual build up, and then release. It's like you hit this fucking jackpot, and it's like a release of euphoria, and just pure pleasure, like nothing else in the world matters.
Yep.
You have nothing else running through your mind.
At
it's like
all, yeah.
It's just a moment in time where you feel nothing but good.
Yeah.
Nothing but
it's
good.
It's a high.
It actually is. You genuinely, like for me, it's like you've fucking gone to outer space and you're coming back down. Like you feel like you are the stars. Like it's just, you're sensitive. It's,
It's so good.
It's so, the English language does the orgasm no justice.
No, this is true. If I could describe, like, there are no words. There are no words other than the ones we just used. There are no words that can describe it to a T.
I guess you'll have to try it out to find out.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that cue. And what a good question to end on. Thanks so much, Flex, for creating this game. I love it. I can't wait to play it with heaps of different people and get their opinions on things. My partner, my housemates.
I'm going to have to steal it off you.
You
at
can
some
steal
point.
It?
Yeah, yeah.
Have it whenever. It's so fun. We still, guys, we only went through what? Well, how many cards have you got?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I went through 6.
Yeah, I went through 5. So we did 11.
And there's so still juicy. Heaps. There's still like a whole deck sitting right
heaps.
Here next
I
to
I
want to
keep doing it, but this potty's already gone for so long. Maybe we'll do a part two.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed having Kaya on again and us answering these raunchy questions about sex.
Thanks for having me. Thanks You're for welcome. Listening. Listening to me babble.
That was fun. That was so much fun.
That was grouse.
I hope you all got something out of the questions we answered as well. We tried to get around to as many as possible. And yeah, I mean, if you have any other questions, you can always message the Instagram account. And I'll get back to them. Thank you so much for coming on again, Kaya. Woo!
Thanks so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
So
I love doing
fun.
This.
Yes, we love it. She'll be back. Don't you worry.
I'll be back.
God, no!
I had to do it. It had to be done. I'm sorry.
All right, that's okay. I'll let you off.
Bye!
Now, you cheeky people, no, I did not forget about Reviewer of the Week, so here we are. It's been a hot minute since I last read out a review, and I'm super, super sorry for that, so I'll be doing 3 today to make up for it. If you want to leave a review, you can head to my podcast reviews, and you can just search Topics of Taboo, or you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts, and I do read out 1 or 2 reviews a week at the end of the episode, so if you would like a shout out, then go ahead and leave a review, and of course, if you are loving the podcast as well, I'd love your feedback, and a little rating because it really helps the podcast get out there to more and more listeners. So today we are hearing from Courts Wakefield from the United Kingdom. She said, such a good podcast about life, sexuality, and all things seen as taboo to talk about in society. So thank you so much for that, Court. We have Eliana E. from the United States who said, 10 out of 10, these podcasts just feel like a safe space. There are so many topics that we are avoiding talking about because of the stigma around them, and this podcast does a great job of alleviating the stigma. So thank you so much, Eliana, for that. And we have Emily RX from the United Kingdom who said, I absolutely love these podcasts. Really interesting and great to listen to in your free time. I love all of the different topics so far, and Dutchie has done an amazing job. Please keep making more. So thank you so much to all three of you and everyone else that has left a review. It actually means the world to me, and it's so nice to see that you guys are really appreciating the episodes, and it makes me want to keep making episodes for you guys because you're really enjoying them. So thank you so much. And yes, I'll chat to you all in my next one. Bye.